Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, this morning I'm not going to talk about cold. I'm going to talk about something sweet instead. And that sweet is sugar. Well, on a regular basis, the dietary guidelines for Americans are reviewed. And in the latest review, it suggested, no, not suggested, recommended that less than 6 years. So that means companies are scrambling to trim sugars because labels have to review how much each serving contains. So what does this mean? Well, it means a whole lot of things to us individually, and certainly a whole lot to all of the companies who make all the foods that have sugars, food and beverages for sure. Now, why 6%? That's a very small number. So the nutrition experts looked at what it takes to have a healthy diet. How many calories does it take to have a healthy diet? And, of course, that's going to depend somewhat on your age and how active you are and so on. But, you know, they kind of do all their base study on a 2,000-calorie diet a day. So they took a look at this and said, okay, how many calories does it take to be healthy and to provide the nutritional needs, you know, and that's going to come from fruits and vegetables and low-fat dairy, whole grains, you know, all the foods that we have been recommended to be eating to be healthy, to get the nutrients we need. So then they subtracted those calories from the 2,000, for instance, and said, here are the calories we have left over. And part of those have to go to things with fat. For instance, some foods just contain fat and some are added. So how much do we have left for sugar? 6%. And if you ate, or based on a 2,000 calorie diet, and I know a number of people that I know do not eat that many calories. But let's say, again, if you were eating a 2,000 calorie diet, that leaves 120 calories for sugar, of added sugar. That's 7 teaspoons. Can you envision 7 teaspoons? Think about what does a fourth of a cup look like of sugar or of anything? Well, a fourth of a cup has 12 teaspoons in it. And if you drink a can of soda, a pop, and it's full sugar, you know, not reduced sugar, they contain 9 teaspoons. So if you drank part of one can of soda, you would have consumed the recommended amount. Wow, this is a huge challenge. Right now, the average adult gets at least 13% of their calories from added sugar. So cutting that in half is a huge challenge. Well, companies, companies who make all these things that we like to eat are scrambling to get those cut back. And how do they do that? Well, it's a big challenge because, first of all, you have to find something that's sweet. You know, that's the main reason we like sugar, is because it's sweet. The things we maybe don't think about is sugar also provides other kinds of quality to the food we eat. Can you imagine a sugar cookie without sugar? Well, not only would it not taste sweet, it also would be terribly hard. The tenderness in a cake is partly provided because of the sugar. There are many other qualities. Even in some beverages, the viscosity is affected by sugar. How fast ice cream melts is affected by sugar. So it's more than the flavor, although that's what's at the tip of our tongues when we eat something that's sweet. So what can be substituted for sugar that doesn't act like sugar in our bodies? That's a huge challenge. We know that there have been sugar substitutes on the market for a long time, and some of those have really been questioned and are really not listed as safe, that including aspartame, sucrose, and also sucralose. listed as those that have caused cancer in animals, really not recommended for us. And yet they still are found in some products if you look down the list of ingredients. Many others of the substitutes they're trying may taste sweet, but there could be some other problems involved. It may cause digestive problems if there is too much. For instance, sugar alcohols, which are neither sugar or alcohol, can have a laxative effect. Well, probably not something we need added to our dietary problems. But of those two, this erythritol is probably one of the best ones to use. It's not quite as much an effect on our digestive system. So that's probably one we're going to be seeing on our list of ingredients. You've heard of stevia, and the stevia leaf extract is one of those safer ones, and that's being used in many different products. And also you can actually buy it in a box on the shelf so that you can use it to bake with or to cook with. So those are some possibilities. Another one is called allulose, and it's probably one of the safer ones, but they haven't really done enough testing to know how it might affect digestive factors. So they all have those kinds of problems. Another one that's being considered is chicory root. Now, I know some of you listening know about chicory root because it's been used for a long time in a beverage, as creating a beverage. And it really is more a fiber, but when it's turned into a liquid, can taste sweet. So that's a possibility. Cargill is making something called, well, it is tapioca syrup. But the problem with that is that it's basically the same in carbohydrates, which means it's the same in calories as the syrups that we're using now. So probably not a really good substitute. Well, a huge challenge. We'll be seeing more information about that. But in the meantime, of course, just eating less sugar is not the goal of our nutrition guidelines. It's also to replace those calories we're now using for sugar and fat with those from fruits and vegetables and whole grains and all of the things that make up a healthy diet. So it's upon us individually to make some of those choices also. Another challenge in our lives along with everything else. Well, I wanted to go back and take a look at the history of sugar. Of course, sugar is a natural ingredient, and we actually are born with a preference for the flavor of sweetness of sugar in, of course, mother's milk, other kinds of natural sugars. But it's believed that cane sugar was first used in Polynesia and then spread to India, and we're talking at least 500 B.C., so we're going back in time, of course, as most of our history goes back to that long-term folks who were trying to solve problems and finding things good to eat and doing business long ago. Greeks and Romans said it was a medicine, and it was used in small amounts. Sugar was discovered by Western Europeans as a result of the Crusades in the 11th century AD, and the first sugar was recorded in England in 1069. And so, of course, the subsequent centuries saw a major expansion of Western European trade with the East, including the importation of sugar. And at this time, it certainly was regarded as a luxury. It was listed as a fine spice, and people had sugar safes because it was so expensive. They kept their sugar in a special safe. In the 15th century AD, European sugar was refined in Venice, and confirmation that even when the quantities were small, it was difficult to transport sugar as a food-grade product. But in that same century, remember, Columbus sailed to the Americas, and it's recorded in 1493 that he took sugarcane plants to grow in the Caribbean. Of course, the climate there was so good for the growth of the cane that an industry was quickly established. And sugarcane, sugar beets, all of that has played a major role in economic development, in revolutions, in exploration, a huge role in how we have lived in the past. And it continues to be a huge problem, huge challenge as to what we can do to get those sugar calories down and how we can still enjoy the things we eat. Well, there's always another challenge. So since sugar originally came early from India, here's a proverb from India: if you can't give any sugar, then speak sweetly.